The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This program is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 15th through Sunday, April 21st, 2024. The commentary for April was written by Lynn Frazier, a teacher, retired hospice palliative care chaplain, and avid recreational walker. A lifelong Episcopalian, Lynn attends St. Matthew's in Grand Junction, Colorado, where she has facilitated classes on the Psalms, the Parables, Civil Discourse, and Aging with Grace. The commentary for Monday, April 15th, begins with a passage from Psalm 25, verse 3. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Here's the commentary. As a daily walker, I am grateful for the many paths and trails in the beautiful landscape near my home. Each journey is different. Even on the same trail, I walk regularly. The light changes dramatically. Seasons affect the range of colors and what's blooming or not. The air might be crisp and cool, hot and dry, sub-freezing and snowing. The terrain itself varies considerably with seasons and usage. And the sounds are marvelous. On a recent walk along a riverfront trail, I listened to geese first in flight overhead, next, as they gently landed on the water, and then as they talked it all over with one another while deciding how to deal with the ducks approaching from the shoreline. The psalmist's prayer today reveals much the same perspective about our dynamic relationship with God and the path we travel on our spiritual journey. We are sometimes surprised, frequently enlightened, and always moving. Each day of the journey is different as the seasons change. And now I'm going to read through the full passage from Psalm 25. It begins, To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your paths, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me. For I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of its troubles. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 15th, is how does your experience of nature shape your spiritual journey? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, April 16th, the day on which we commemorate the lives of Peter Williams Cassie and Annie Besant Cassie. It begins with a passage from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 6. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. The letter to the Colossians begins with grace, the great gift of God that comes through the power of the gospel. The gift of grace seems an appropriate connection as we remember today Peter William Cassie, ordained by the Episcopal Church in 1866, and his wife Annie Besant Cassie, in the face of slavery, discrimination, and injustice. They worked fearlessly to bring the blessings of education and spiritual haven to marginalized people in the communities they served. The gift of grace reflects God's unconditional love for us. Whoever we are, wherever we are, however we are, whatever we have or have not done, God loves, forgives, and accepts us fully and without reservation. For that I am immeasurably grateful, always and in all ways. And I'm going to read from the passage of Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And the moving forward question for Tuesday is, how does the gift of grace affect your involvement in the world? The commentary for Wednesday, April 17th, begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verses 29b to 30a. Let me find grace through your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. When a Vietnam veteran in our care neared death, his older brother came from hundreds of miles away to be with him. As I walked by the room, I heard the brother reading Psalm 119. He paused and introduced himself, explaining that he was going to read Psalm 119 as long as his brother lived. I asked why he had chosen this particular psalm. He said that he and his brother had a falling out several years ago over his brother's use of alcohol and drugs, and they had never reconciled. When his brother was admitted to the hospital, he came immediately, and they were able to have what he described as a nonverbal exchange of forgiveness. He deeply regretted their time apart, took responsibility for it, and said he found something especially comforting about the assurance of God's love and mercy through honoring God's statutes. Now he would stay with his brother and read this psalm. He resumed reading and read Psalm 119 through the night until his brother died peacefully the following morning. The brothers in their own ways found grace. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how can honoring God's statutes be freeing? The commentary for Thursday, April 18th, begins with a passage from Psalm 37, verse 7, Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Waiting in line, waiting for an appointment, waiting in traffic, waiting for repair service, waiting on hold, waiting for the results of a medical test. I wait, but not patiently. Our explosion of technology and the availability of online resources make it easy to get results, news, or information quickly. Either way, when I wait or attempt to access information, I often feel frenzied. The psalm for today, referenced at the beginning here, refers to a frenzied state. Evildoers get cut off. Fretting leads to wickedness, plotting against the righteous and gnashing at them. But smack dab in the middle of these awful verses, the psalmist suggests that we be still before God and wait patiently. In this Easter season, we celebrate the ministry and resurrection of Jesus, waiting sometimes frenzied. We share a spiritual journey with other individuals and communities, also waiting and sometimes frenzied, as we affirm God's presence in the world today. At our church's Eucharist, the celebrant says a prayer attributed to Saint Augustine. Remember who you are, become what you receive. Let us be still and know God's presence. And now I'm going to read the passage from the Gospel for today, which is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. And the moving forward question for today is, how is waiting with God's presence an active experience? The commentary for Friday, April 19th, begins with a passage from Psalm 105, verse 41. "He opened the rock, and water flowed, so the river ran in dry places." The people with Moses miraculously and dramatically receive water from a rock after he strikes the rock with his staff. "There have been times when I have felt the need for a significant change and wanted something dramatic to enable that change. I have prayed in desperation for a dramatic sign of a new direction. And sometimes I've wanted God to open the rock for water to gush out. It never happens that way. I've looked everywhere for water flowing impossibly from a rock, but later in the day or several days, weeks, or even months after that prayer, I look back and I remember. A friend or family member has stepped into the breach. I had the opportunity to help someone. A new friend appeared in my life. I made a significant decision and began to enact it. I joined a community group I'd been reluctant to try. I saw a sunset so brilliant that the colors remained even in the dark. God opened the rock, and water flowed through the dry places." And now I'm going to read from this passage of the Psalm 105, verses 23 through 45. "Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes, whose hearts he then turned to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent his servant Moses and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. They rebelled against his words. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He gave them hail for rain and lightning that flashed through their land. He struck their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke and the locusts came, and young locusts without number. They devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of their ground. He struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first issue of all their strength. Then he brought Israel out with silver and gold, and there was no one among their tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quails and gave them food from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the wealth of the peoples, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. And the moving forward question today, have you experienced water flowing out from the rock? The commentary for Saturday, April 20th, begins with a passage from Psalm 42, verses 6 to 7a. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Put your trust in God. On May 24, 2022, 19 children and two adults were murdered at an elementary school in my hometown of Uvalde, Texas. I went to school there and walked every day to and from the elementary school. Along with the spirits of those murdered and all who knew and loved them, I grieve. I grieve with my country for all those killed and injured by gun violence, and with those seeking to find solutions for how to eliminate this violence. At a recent retreat on the Psalms of Lament, participants divided into small groups with psalms assigned for discussion. The group remembers who had Psalm 42, decided to act it out in silence like a play. I well remember them with their souls so heavy they could not even move across the room. Finally, they reached out their hands to the rest of us, imploring us to continue praying and trusting in God. And now I'm going to read Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food, day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By the day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down on my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, how do you respond when your soul is so disquieted within you that it is difficult for you to move? And as we near the end of the program for this week and the end of this week, let's look at the commentary for Sunday, April 21st, the fourth Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. For shepherds, shearing is an essential task, important for the animal's health, hygiene, and overall well-being. Growing up in sheep country, I observed this mesmerizing job many times. The shearer holds a sheep and begins working the legs, then the underside, with the animal continuously struggling against the clippers. The wool comes off in thick strips, exposing the sheep's tender skin. When all the wool is shorn, The animal is released free of its heavy coat. The sheep may be wobbly and disoriented before regaining balance and heading for the pasture. Jesus, as a good shepherd, takes care of his sheep, including in times of difficulty. We sometimes struggle against God's Spirit. We may become wobbly and disoriented and need help regaining balance. We may expose tender vulnerability, but like shearing, Jesus' work doesn't end there. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life so he could take it up again, and so we could take it up again and again. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, April 21st, what is your vision of Jesus as the Good Shepherd? And that concludes their program for this week, our Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.